Moikka!
Moikka! Tervetuloa! Noin puolet hukkuu,
joo.
Mutta hyvä tulo. Hyvä tulo.
Welcome to Algorithmi. Straight from rehearsals, Atte. So nice that you found the time visiting my podcast. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So tell me, what are you working on right now?
At the moment, I came just from rehearsals of Dracula.
Okay.
With the Finnish National Ballet.
Yeah.
We are having premiere 1st of March.
Yeah.
And we are working that hardly, and it's going to be quite nice.
1st of March, okay. Dracula?
Dracula Ballet.
Whose music is?
Horror music.
Horror music.
It's a Polish... I'm so bad with names.
Okay.
I'm so bad with names.
Yeah.
But all the info found in at the Finnish National Ballet website.
You read the short Polis in the school.
Yes.
Yeah. Not the large.
Not
the large one. Okay.
And we just started rehearsing, so we have got the first steps, and but it seems quite nice. Very nice.
Is this targeted for young people or teenagers?
I think teenagers, not so young. It's a bit scary ballet, I would say.
Okay.
So not like kids.
Yeah.
But teenagers and adults, and a bit like horror ballet, like we had Jekyll and Hyde. So
I would say
a little bit something like that.
Good.
So
new
nice
audiences,
different.
Perhaps.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I'm also working with the music hall. My upcoming premiere, Scenes from the Red Guard, with Valtteri Lehtinen, Radio Symphony Orchestra, and Valtteri Lehtinen, Pirkko Saisio. So that's something new.
Okay, and which month is that?
Also March, 8th
also
of March.
Also March?
Yes.
Okay.
Lot of things coming.
So 8th of March, so then this episode... No, this is coming later, but we can find this in the internet. The Radio Symphony.
From thing. Yle.
I will link that as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And welcome. We have performances in Turku also.
Okay. All right.
In
good.
April 27th. So busy spring.
Busy spring. We will get back to your busy schedule in the end of this episode, but let's go to your recommendations now. I ask all the guests to send me two recommendations, two things that are important for them, two things that are so phenomenal that we should talk about them and share them with everybody. And your first pick is The Dying Swan, danced by Maja Plitseskaja.
Yes.
A wonderful, touching video. I love it so much. And, well, she's dancing it at age 61.
Exactly.
We lost her a few years ago. But let's talk about the age factor first. How big miracle it is that she's able to dance it so well at age of 61.
It's a huge miracle.
It's a miracle.
And
yeah.
I think that's why it's one of my picks.
Yeah.
Because One Lake, it's a classic, and it's everybody knows the music, everybody knows the story.
Yeah.
Swan Lake, it's one of the most beautiful ballets. But this Dying Swan, it's not part of the Swan Lake.
That's right. Yeah.
It's own number.
Yeah.
And it's very hard number to dance, and you have to be certain kind of a dancer to do it.
That's right. Yeah.
And she danced that at age 61, and it's a miracle.
Yeah.
And somehow it gives me this hope that everything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
If she can do it, everyone can do it.
That's right, yeah.
It just needs a lot of work, and, you know, she showed that it's possible to do it, so...
She's on her toes many minutes in the beginning, and then, I mean, she goes to the floor and then back to the toes. I mean, that only is really difficult. Is there anyone else who managed to do this?
I saw in the summer in Hamburg, there's the Hamburg Ballet Days.
Yeah.
It's a festival. This year it was 4 weeks festival. Every night a different ballet.
Yeah.
So they did Nijinsky by John Neumeier.
Mm.
And Alessandra Ferri danced the wife role, the main lead role for a woman.
Yeah.
And she's 60. And this was 6 minutes of this Dying Swan, but that's the whole ballet.
Yeah.
And I saw her dancing that age of 60, and it was also like I was speechless. Like, how can somebody do that?
That's right.
And I think it breaks all the rules that we have taught and learned, you know, like you go ballet school, you do this, then you have a career. If you are lucky, you will have a career, and then you retire, let's say, in your 40s.
Yeah, what is the official retirement age?
45. I have 45. It's
45.
Until that, I am working as a ballet dancer at the opera.
Okay.
But then starts the retirement.
Yeah.
But if you think she's 60, so that is like 15 more years.
Yeah.
It's a lot, long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people who retire, that's why the age is so young, because the body can't handle anymore.
That's right, yeah.
But they have found way to survive and do ballet that long. So I think there is something, it's like a fountain of youth or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you
that I will keep searching.
That's yeah. I was gonna ask. So I'm sure you're one of those who want to continue as long as you can. So okay, yeah.
And in Finland we have like Aira Samulin.
Yes.
You know, she danced all the way.
Yeah, all the way until 96.
96.
Yeah.
So those people are such a big inspiration for me.
That's right. Yeah. And when I saw that video, I couldn't tell that there is a 61-year-old dancer. I mean, there's no way. She looks like in her 20s.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
It's, yeah.
I think the dance is so ageless in a way.
Yeah.
Because once you go on stage, the age disappears. Even though you have all the experiences and knowledge, but once you go on stage, you have that with you, but you don't carry your age with you.
That's right.
So you might be very young and do very mature roles, or the opposite.
Yeah, that's right. Did you ever meet Plicheskaya?
No, never.
Yeah. Okay, I've heard some stories from Olli Mustonen, who knows the husband, Rodrion Schützdrin. Again, a Polish-sounding name, the short Polish in a school. Actually, I think Rodrion dedicated one piano concerto for Olli, so they're that close friends.
Okay, nice.
And he told me stories about long dinners with Maija and Rodrion in their Munich house. And the stories goes like, you know, and then I remember Prokofiev came and Shostakovich.
Yeah, like crazy.
Yeah, yeah, we had holidays with Shostakovich, stuff like that. So, yeah. And Rodrion is still there. I checked.
Wow.
I checked. 90-something. Yeah.
That's a long age.
That's a long age. And, and yeah, very rare that the musician has a longer life than a dancer.
Yeah, that's rare.
That's very rare, yeah.
Because dancers, we still, of course, musicians also take care of their bodies, but dancers, we are so picky what we eat and how
that's
we exercise and all this. And
yeah.
Before gig, we cannot have a drink or shot.
That's right. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully not. Yeah. But you also torture your body.
That is true.
Through your years in the business.
Yeah.
But
we live with the pain.
That's right. Yeah.
Which I think is beauty of dance. Because everything looks so beautiful and soft and easy. But then the reality is so different.
Yeah.
So I think there's something beauty in the idea that how we fake the audience.
That's right.
They don't know
are
we injured or not or what kind of pain we, and they don't have to. That's not their thing. They are coming to see the beauty and the experience, and that's what we are living for.
Yeah. And everybody has pain. Every dancer has pain. No matter if you're not injured or not, you are experiencing pain
here and there. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's part of life.
Okay.
And I think pain is also something different for a lot of dancers.
Yeah.
Good days you don't feel anything. Some days you feel very, very bad.
Yeah.
But you learn to live with that.
Yes.
And know when it's okay to feel pain.
Yeah.
and when it's too dangerous that you need to stop.
That's right. So even if you're doing everything correctly, there is the pain.
There might be, yes, because when the muscles get stronger or you jump a lot, you feel sore and it's...
Yeah, and one can imagine the amount of pain at 61 or 75 or, I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, well... everybody should check the Dying Swan. I have linked it with this episode, and let's move on.
I still want to say that there are a lot of versions of Dying Swan.
Yeah,
and I think it's very interesting to see it because everybody are doing it so differently and dancing it so differently.
Yeah,
and it also gives the possibility as a dancer to give your own experiences to dance and doing how you interpret the role.
That's right.
So in a way, there's always one right way, but at the same time, all the ways are right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you put your personality into dance.
That's right, yeah. I think the video was from a tour. She was having a tour with the, could be Soviet times, the end, the last years of Soviet Union. So 88 or something.
Yeah.
And in Tokyo, something. Yeah. Do you know? Did she carry on with the role after that, or
probably?
Yeah. It's not on video. Okay, your second pick, something totally different. John Neumeier, Death in Venice.
Yes.
A novel by Thomas Mann, which we all have, of course, read, and this. This is interesting. My first question is that, I mean, is there a way to adapt a book for dancers to make a choreography? I mean, is there's probably no one way to do it, or is there? No.
No, but how John did it, he's a genius. Mm-hmm. He's so good doing ballet.
Yeah.
Like the way he sees and what is his vision and how he puts that into the ballet performance, it's amazing. Like all the things he has thought.
Mm.
So the way he has done it, it's not about the writer, it's about the choreographer.
Yeah.
So he changes these things.
Yes.
And then the Aschenbach in the ballet, you know, he has these different ideas and the characters that he imagines, how he creates, and it's like, my words are not even enough to describe what is happening there, because, you know, it's such a mind-blowing experience to see it and dance it.
I
actually danced it when I was in Hamburg.
You and did the role of the young...
Tazio,
again Polish.
Yes, it's a lot of Polish here.
Lots
now.
Lots of Polish, this is the Polish episode.
Polish evening.
Yeah.
So I knew the ballet before.
Yeah.
And then when I heard that I'm going to dance it and I will dance Tazio, I was like mind blown. And to get part, to dive into the role and to see the, getting to know the movie and the story and the ballet and everything, it was like, you know, just like question marks and learning and seeing. And
So this is, you didn't do the premiere.
No, premiere was done 20 years ago, I would say.
Okay.
Something
it's
like this.
Old. Yeah. So he changed, I mean, in the novel, the main character, the writer, who's probably the self-image of Thomas Mann, is called Aschenbach. And John Neumeier changed that the main character, Aschenbach, is a choreographer. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Because the video we sent, that's kind of a promo video. It's not the whole thing.
No.
So it has, you know, clips from here and there. But it looks very good and very interesting.
The full video, they made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
I can't remember when, but there's a movie which you can purchase.
Yeah. From the 80s, maybe, or...
No, I mean from the ballet.
Oh, from the ballet.
They have done a very specific movie of this ballet, so that's possible to
not
buy.
Not everybody puts everything on YouTube just for free.
No. Not especially this. Because when I was there, we also did some movies of the ballets.
Yeah.
And they are not like we called streamings. But how it was done there was a director, there was cuts, we were filming
50 the cameras.
Ballets.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Like yeah. hours of hours. We did them like 3-4 times, and then we were doing close-ups.
Yeah.
So it's not like we do it once and there is 5 cameras here yeah. and 10 cameras here. No, there's yeah. like 50 cameras everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's done like so differently. So that's why it's more like a movie than yeah, just
yeah,
the streaming.
Yeah, I know. In Germany, they really
do it.
They really do. I've been admiring the Berlin Philharmonic live streams. They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. I mean, and all the cuts and edits are so professional. Hats off. But it's, you know, they're 86 million people with
it's
5
different.
Million people.
Yeah, it yeah. is.
So the budgets are different.
Bigger. But it's nice to see it, how it's done. And, you know, it's very inspiring.
Mm.
And I was there. There was Corona at the time.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as bad as in Finland.
Yeah.
I mean, Corona, yes, but yeah. we could do performances. It
yeah.
was just a smaller group of audience,
yeah.
but we could still work. But there was a period when I think 1 month or 2 months when we couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
For the audience.
Yeah.
So that was the time we did Midsummer Night's Dream, Beethoven Project 2, and Anna Karenina.
Okay.
We filmed those.
Just
all those three.
With masks?
No. in Hamburg, it was perfect because we did tests.
Yeah.
And then we could work without masks.
Yeah, okay.
So in a way, the time was well spent because they did these movies out of all these ballets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because that also takes time, you know, you have to do the ballet 3-4 times a day.
That's right.
For the cameras.
Mm. Yeah.
Normally you don't find that time when you are performing 5 times a week.
That's right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about your Hamburg year. It was 1 year or
2 years.
2 years. Okay. How did that came about? So did John come to Finland first?
Yeah, he was here setting Sylvia.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I end up dancing the main
yeah.
guy role, Aminta.
Yeah.
And then after that we talked, and 1 year later I was there.
Okay. So was it the invitation?
Yeah. I got the possibility to join.
Okay.
And then I thought I will take this.
Yeah, of course.
It's
a smart move.
The company is beautiful, and it's very, mostly the dancers are from the school.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Paris Opera. So
yeah.
it's hard to get from outside. There's not really auditions.
Okay.
So I know this is like, I have to take this chance, and I'm happy I took it.
Yeah. And was the role of Taccio kind of part of the plan already then in order to get you there?
We don't know the roles.
Okay.
In ballet, it's always we go
yeah.
and then there's a list
yeah.
and we see what we are doing. It's a bit different than opera singers when they can plan things.
Okay.
And they know, yeah. but you know, we have a list and we see what we are learning and that's
okay.
it.
You read from the piece of
yes.
paper. Okay. Oh, it's
so
still like that. Okay.
It is very old school, I would say.
Okay. Well, that's something.
Let's say it yeah. keeps you on your toes.
It keeps you on your toes. Yeah,
and
yeah.
You never know what's coming.
Okay. Even the huge stars, they have no say about the roles.
I mean, of course, it always depends who you are and
yeah,
what
yeah.
you do.
Yeah.
But in big picture.
Yeah. Okay. So how was Hamburg Ballet different from the Finnish National Ballet?
First of all, I think the way, because in Finnish National Ballet, we have always one production for 1 month,
yeah.
roughly, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's always a different piece
yeah.
with a different choreographer.
Yeah.
But Hamburg, mostly everything we did was John's pieces. And
yes.
I think that was the beauty of it.
Yeah.
We did Sylvia here and I worked 2 weeks with him.
Yeah.
And I learned in 2 weeks more than I learned in years here.
Okay.
And then I knew that I want to learn more, so I have to go there and learn.
Yeah.
And not only about dance, but also life and, you know, how to see things and
mm-hmm.
how to explore
yeah.
motions through movements and all this.
He's a man of in his 60s, right?
83.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's 84. He's been directing 50 years. This is his 51st
yeah,
year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
first Frankfurt.
No, Hamburg.
Hamburg first, okay.
He's been in Hamburg now 51 years.
Okay.
So that's he's the only one who has done it that long.
Wow.
Normally directors maybe 8 years, 15 years is a lot, but 50.
50, wow. Is he now working in English or German?
Still in Hamburg,
yeah.
still directing.
Yeah, yeah, but what is his language?
English.
English,
yeah.
no German.
Because the company is,
okay.
the dancers are
Yeah, yeah.
All around the world.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, good, good. So it was good time for you?
Very good time.
Why did you leave
then? Well, I came back because in Finland we have this thing called permanent contract.
Yeah.
Which is very rare.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we have that only in Finland, Sweden, Norwegian and Copenhagen.
Okay.
And it's a contract that gives possibility for a dancer to retire.
Yeah.
So there is a safe contract until
that's
in
right,
the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot abroad, you know, you might work until you're 30 and that's it.
Mm, mm.
And then also Finland is my home country.
Yeah.
And it's important for me to bring the dance and the experiences back here.
Of course, yeah.
Because in Germany, the audience is much more acknowledgeable, how you say this. You know, like, they are coming more to watch dance. Mm. I still feel in Finland there's a lot of people who has never seen ballet or contemporary dance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important here to bring it.
Yeah.
But of course, my contract gave me a possibility to visit for 2 years, and then I had to make a decision, do I want to stay here,
okay,
or should I go back? And then I thought, 2 years was great, but Finland is my home, so I will follow.
Okay,
there.
So you had the contract before going to Hamburg.
Yes.
Okay, and then if you would have continued there,
I would have to let go of my Finnish.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Which is the only safe piece of paper you can get in this business of uncertainty.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So yeah. So it was not that you became homesick or something like that. So,
of course, also homesick.
Homesick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know how it can be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then also the director is changing there, so I knew that because I went there because of him, to learn from him.
Okay, so now he's retiring, John.
I think never retiring.
But
yes, the director is changing, so he is stepping away from the director.
Okay, okay.
And
okay,
then choreographing all
around
the world.
Okay, so then, yeah, yeah, that can be.
But it also the differences between Finland and Hamburg, I think it's also the amount of productions they are doing. In Finland, we do maybe 8-9 productions a season.
Yeah.
Of ballet productions, and there we did 20. So it's more than double amount of productions. Yeah. So, you know, once you are doing a premiere, you are rehearsing upcoming thing, and you know, I have a lot of shows where you don't really have time to even do a stage run through.
Really?
Because there is no time, you know. Things are coming and going, and
okay, yeah,
it's this just wheel that keeps on going very fast.
And what about the audience? Was the hall full all
always
the time?
Full.
Always full.
Yeah, always full.
But that's pretty much the same here also.
Also, yes, it's very nice that the ballet is selling super well.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that the audience is excited to see dance. That's a good sign, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not too many Finnish dancers go abroad. I mean, not that I have heard of. Same in jazz music. You know, many people just, you know, kind of, they like to be in the bubble with their friends, and I can't blame them, because I mean I think all the dancers, all the musicians, we grew up with our friends. You grew up with the dancer friends, and you know, we musicians, so it's difficult to leave.
Yeah,
but you have to leave in your 20s. That's the
time to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now the time when I left and a bit before, there's been a lot of young people who's been going abroad, because if there's not contracts enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The hard thing is we have only one ballet in Finland.
Mm.
And if you go Germany, there's every city one or two ballets.
Yeah.
So it's much easier to find a job for you.
That's right.
But here we have only one ballet, and if you graduate and you want to be ballet dancer here, and there is only one or two spots left open.
Yeah.
So if you want to keep on dancing, you have to leave.
Yeah.
And for many, that is a big thing to leave, of course, because home and everything is here.
Yeah.
In Europe, it's much easier because the other country you can go with car. Here you always have to fly or take the ship, so it's much harder.
Yeah.
And I think the way we are living here in Finland, it's like we are here and then the rest of the world is out there.
Yeah.
But now there's much more young dancers who are working in different countries abroad.
Good to know.
So that is nice that the Finnish dancers are really spreading Amsterdam or Romania or whatever, you know. Good.
Yeah, and it's so easy to work in the EU area.
Exactly.
I mean, not too much paperwork or anything. So
quite,
we are
quite easy.
That's what I've noticed.
And I think Finnish dancers, they have this own strong style.
Yeah.
And it's nice that it's going because people like it abroad. They like Finns, how they dance and are, and you know. So it's good that people are spreading and showing Finnish culture also.
In the jazz world, the Scandinavians are kind of put in the same group, at least in Germany.
Mm.
They like the Scandinavian sound, whatever that is, but Finns, Swedish, Norwegian, they're the same. But the reputation is very good, I've noticed. But it's curious to hear that... Finnish dancers have been kind of discovered having their own style.
I would say so, yes.
Great. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what I can say.
Yeah.
At least with National Ballet, with the Finns, they are very strong expressions.
Mm.
And it's not only classic, but it's the dance and it's the movement.
Yeah.
People are very good movers.
Good, yeah.
So it's not only stays that I do perfect five pirouettes, but it's how you do it and how you get out of that.
That's right.
When we have modern works, like now we are coming to have Petrushka and Sacre, that's the time to like go for it because then we can really...
Petrushka and Sacre on the same evening?
Yes, double evening.
The original...
not original,
Okay.
New versions.
Was it Nijinsky who...
Nijinsky, yes.
Nijinsky was dancing the role of Petrushka.
I think he created the Sacre.
Okay.
Nijinsky, but probably then also Petrushka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now it's both... They are not new versions, not premiere versions, but I think both are created in during this 10 years or 15 years, so they are like...
Okay, so and that's coming this year?
Yes.
Okay.
And we after Dracula.
After Dracula. And we can talk about it.
Yes, we can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good time to go if you have never seen modern dance. I think those two are, I think, a good starting point.
I would say so. Yeah.
If nothing is moving until you've seen those, you know, after you've seen those,
something is wrong with you.
Something is wrong with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Sure. I always. I mean it. If somebody comes to me and says that I've never liked opera, and then I say that, you know, go and see La Bohème. I mean, if you don't like that, because I think that the first act of La Bohème, that's like perfect opera. Mm. It goes so quickly and the melodies are incredible. And I mean, if you hate that, just, you know, quit.
Yeah, leave it.
Yeah. And then there are many people who say, I don't understand jazz. And I'm sure you have heard the same thing. I don't understand dance.
Yeah.
What do you answer?
I always say that, you know, if you have seen one piece and you don't understand that, come again.
Yeah.
Because you might watch a movie and you don't like that movie.
That's right.
But do you stop watching movies?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But it's easily to put box that, you know, okay, this is what dance is if you have seen one. But it's better to open your mind and go to see again. And
that's right.
Maybe explore a bit more what are you going to see. Because like in movies, there are a lot of different movies. Some are good, some are not so good.
Yeah.
And it always depends who is watching.
Yeah.
Some people like something, some people don't.
That's right. Yeah. And people also... tend to, if they find a favorite thing like food or movie, they repeat it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Then again.
Which
but
is,
this
which
double bill, I think it's, those are the easy ones to come and see dance if you haven't ever seen because there are classics like Romeo and Juliet, which is beautiful. And what is this, Sleeping Beauty, for example, beautiful ballets.
Yeah.
But if that's first thing you see, it might be a bit long for some people because there are two intermissions.
Yeah.
So the easy way to get to dance is to see these double bills.
That's right.
Because I think that is like maybe 40 minutes intermission and then half an hour.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So the time, especially the time where we are living, you know, with this, everybody's checking like 5-second videos and all this, the concentration is gone.
Of course, yeah.
So it's good to start if you are a bit hesitating.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the bit shorter ones and then build it with the longer ones.
Yeah.
Because once you get into it, the 3-4 hour ballet will go so fast.
That's right.
But if you're first time and you don't really understand why they don't speak, you might be a bit frustrated.
Yeah. And Stravinsky's music is so rocky, especially the Rite of Spring.
Yeah.
And I've heard that you know, for the younger generation, it's now an incredible thing to hear acoustic music that is played acoustically, because it could be the first time they hear it in a ballet like this, because it's usually the headphones and you know, a pop rock thing that, which is partly playing live and
partly
the hard disc, you know. So that's also an exotic thing nowadays. I have found one more similarity between jazz players and dancers. I think both genres would need a spokesperson, like you know, a person that is giving his or her face to this you know, art form. And in Finland we have had this thing called Jorma. Jorma for many decades.
Yes.
And I think Jorma Uotinen, who is also well known abroad, he has brought so many new friends
for dance.
But Jorma is getting old. Would you be the new Jorma? I
cannot answer that. Nobody will be a new Jorma.
Yeah, but I have admired that you are kind of a spokesperson for Finnish dance already. I think you are trying to get more people
into
the hall.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Of course, I think it's important, and I find one of the reasons for me is to dance and spread dance for people, especially who doesn't ever witness dance.
Yeah.
So to bring those places that I was last summer, already 2 summers ago, I was working this project where I was on streets and I went to strangers and asked, can I dance for you?
Yeah.
And they were so, you know, like, oh, what is this? And, oh, super nice. And it was nice to see their reactions.
In Helsinki?
In Turku.
In Turku, okay.
In the summer.
Yeah.
And then there were some people who were horrified and, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, you cannot dance. And run away.
Yeah.
But mostly they were very excited and happy to see this performance. So I think it's important. And one thing for me, like a mission, is to bring dance for as many people as I can.
Yeah. What do your colleagues say when you do these kind of things or giving interviews and you've been in the media? Is that a good thing among your colleagues, or do you get heat?
No. Nothing negative, no.
Nothing negative, okay.
No.
Yeah.
Haven't really got.
Okay.
People are happy that, you know, because everybody wins when dance is more out there.
That's right, yeah.
So I think it's important.
Yeah.
And we don't have too many people, especially now when Aira passed away.
Mm.
It's very sad because she was the spirit of dance.
That's
and, you know, she was dancing and putting other grannies to dance and the whole Finland to dance.
That's right.
So it was a big loss for dance.
Yeah, it was.
But it's been so inspiring to see Jorma Uotinen in his work since I was this small.
Mm.
You know, I've been seeing him on TV and I remember he performed this Diva solo in Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
He was dancing with this dress and...
And the chairs.
And the chairs
throwing
and everything.
Chairs,
and I was just like, wow, is this possible?
Yeah.
So I think those are the channels that can really affect.
Yeah.
Like it was affecting on me.
Yeah.
And I remember how important it was for me that I was sitting with my family I can't remember how old I was, but very young.
Yeah.
And in school, yes, but lower school. And seeing that, you know, that is possible, and people are some people is doing that, and yeah. is giving so much energy through this TV.
That's right.
So yeah. for me, it was inspiring.
Was that the moment for you that when you said to your parents that I want to be a dancer?
No, I think I was already dancing, but all these things were just like making it stronger.
Yeah.
And making it more normal.
Yeah.
Because once people are talking about dance more and dance is more out there,
yeah.
it becomes more normal. It's not so weird that you are dancing.
That's right. What is the dance capital, in your opinion? What is the place, country or city that has the most vital dance culture? In the world?
That I think, well, normally always the capitals.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if we take Finland, Helsinki is the place.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
here's most happening.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad because so much talent and nice companies and everything is also in the different smaller cities.
That's right.
So it shouldn't be that you just move to Helsinki because all the work is there.
Yeah. But the number one capital in the world, is it still Paris or New York or... I've heard some things about from Netherlands, Holland.
Also, that
there's
Den Haag,
lots of companies there.
NDT, beautiful company.
Yeah.
But I think nowadays there's not any more like a one place because New York, Paris, Hamburg, Berlin, you know, all the cities, they have like their own, how you say, their own colors.
Yeah.
So it's like anywhere you go now, you find something interesting.
That's right. Yeah.
Because time has went so much further and dance is such a bigger thing now than it was.
That's right. And in
so
Helsinki,
companies, more companies is all around the world.
Yeah.
So.
Are you dreaming of your own company? Is that like...
I would like to do more choreographies. I enjoy doing them.
Yeah.
So that's something for sure I will go forward.
Yeah.
Maybe a company one day, but I try not to plan too much.
Yeah.
Going with the moment, and I've noticed that once you follow your intuition, it will, everything will go by itself.
Yeah. So you don't have a master plan.
No.
Yeah.
And I like it's so nice now to work with Finnish National Ballet as a full-time dancer.
Yeah.
And then outside the job, I have time and own gigs and own choreographies here and there, so I'm always going here and there, so I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But of course, when the age comes, I would like to more do pieces for other dancers also.
Yeah. Have you done any?
Yes.
Yeah, you have. Okay, good. And who is your biggest influence of all time? Of course, Jorma, but internationally.
International. I would say Roberto Bolle.
Okay.
He's this Italian ballet star, and he has danced everywhere, and he's also like 45, 50, something like this, and still going strong.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's beautiful. Beautiful
and
dancer.
Which company is he on?
I think now La Scala.
Okay.
But he's been in American Ballet Theatre everywhere.
Yeah. And Barushnikov is still alive, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Still alive.
he was a big star.
He was
in
a big star,
yes. 80s.
I mean, still is.
Yeah. But because of that that one movie, I think White Nights or something. Yeah. I don't think I ever saw
That's it. A nice movie. Also good recommendation.
Yeah.
Very inspiring.
Yeah, it was a dancing movie. I mean, they really danced on
it's
that.
About him.
Yeah. Oh, it was about him. I didn't know. Okay, I should check it. Yeah, there's long. Maybe I'm
it's
not
nice.
Sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah, of course he's.
Yeah.
The past summer, I danced a solo.
Yeah.
Der Fall Hamlet.
Yeah.
Which was originally created for Barushnikov. So John created this solo for Barushnikov in 73.
Okay.
And then I was there in the summer in Hamburg Ballet Days performing, and then John stopped me and said, I would like you to learn this solo and dance it in the last gala. And I said, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught me the solo and I did it. And it was special because he said it was performed maybe on the 80s or 90s in Hamburg.
In Hamburg, yeah.
But since then, nobody has done it.
Okay.
So it was very special to do something with such a big history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
did Parishnikov come to?
No, that would be great, but yeah, no, he didn't. But still, to learn the steps that was created on him.
That's right.
And hear the stories and all this, it was special. And I feel like that was an important thing for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you read about Nijinsky and his life? Do you know? Okay. I know from Rubinstein, Arthur Rubinstein books about him. A very tragical life he had, you know. So he completely lost his mind.
Yeah.
What's the word that you have? Different personalities.
Yes, this...
phobic... So, anyway, he was put in the institute.
Crazy.
Yeah. Can't find the word.
But that is also inspiring, the way his life is such an interesting.
Yeah.
How he lived.
Polish. Also, Polish.
It's a lot of Polish things.
Polish. We get a medal from Poland after this one.
Yeah.
He was need to Polish. Go to
Polish embassy.
Polish embassy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And lots of vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rubinstein did some duets with him. And then he was actually with him the moment that was his last performance. So he was already, you know, partly crazy and
schizophrenia,
that's the one. And and then they just, you know, this was maybe in the 20s or 30s, and at that time they just put the crazy people, you know, in the institute. But in Switzerland, so hopefully it was nice.
I think so for
him. But just
I saw John has done a ballet, Nijinsky,
yeah,
and I think that it's the best ballets I ever seen.
Okay.
Live.
Like the life of Nijinsky.
Life of Nijinsky. So the story of his life.
Wow.
So Nijinsky is there. There's the brother and the sister and the mother and the wife. And it's about his life. And it's, also when I saw that.
Probably Diaghilev is also part of that because,
I had no words when I saw it. I was just speechless.
Wow.
And to see something like that, how it's done and how the story is going and all the details and thoughts that he has thought there.
Yeah.
It was amazing. He has the world's biggest Nijinsky collection in his home.
Wow.
So it's huge.
So Nijinsky collection meaning like...
Nijinsky's clothes.
Oh, really?
Statues. Then the paintings, the crafts, everything. Yeah. Everything.
But not so much in YouTube, Nijinsky. I saw something very hazy. But I mean, the cameras were not so developed. But somebody knows Nijinsky's choreographies.
Yeah, because he invented this style to write choreography up.
Okay.
So he made it.
He made it. Yeah. Okay. Wow. And Anna Pavlova was during the same time.
Yes. Yes.
They were the big stars.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Wow.
Nice times. Yeah, I wish I would experience that.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
but it's nice...
Rubinstein calls it the Belle Époque.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the beautiful epoch. The time before the world wars, actually, which was his youth. But there was some serious shit going on in the 1890s and, you know, the beginning of the 19th century.
But I like about history because, you know, we cannot relive those things.
That's
but
right.
We can learn from that and see how it's been, and, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The premiere of Rite of Spring in Paris, that is, you know, that's something I would... you know, want to experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's like, that's also in the book. So the half of the hall was basically throwing tomatoes,
and boo,
and, you know, and fighting with the other half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who were in a trance.
So crazy.
1906. Correct me if I'm wrong. Or maybe a little later, around that time.
And in John's ballet, there is the scene.
Yeah.
and the Nijinsky screaming the counts because the dancers couldn't hear the music because everybody was talking so much. So in this scene, Nijinsky screaming the counts 1, 2, 3, ta ta. So you know the dancers can continue.
Yeah,
I don't know how is it true or not, but
it's probably true.
And it's quite powerful.
Wow.
And how the time is changing now, we look that and you know lift it up, and at the time there were people, but it's always that once you're ahead of your time, there are always some haters.
Those guys really were ahead of their time.
Yes.
I mean Stravinsky, Djakilev, Prokofiev even, and and Nijinsky, unbelievable talents. Wow.
So that's why if comes a bad review,
next
20 years maybe they respect.
That is so true. And when you read more about the history of classical music, all the main works got the bad review first.
Yeah,
like Carmen, which is the
biggest there now.
Just terrible, messy. Just like one star review. So
have to remember that when the next review comes.
But
no, so far being lucky.
You don't get bad reviews, or have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
I have not.
After this interview,
I will get.
This is the
bashing some.
How could he die? For 5 years only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Putting down bad choreography.
Yeah, that's right. Now we're gonna show to this bastard. Has the world become a better or worse place during your lifetime? What do you think?
I think better, and I'm very lucky to live this time.
Mm.
Because if I watched 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I'm 27, yes. So when I was young, if I would be now on my age during that time, I would think my life would be very hard. Or if we go 50 years, there was so many what you can do and what you cannot do. And if you're a bit different, the society might push you and you don't have the same possibilities and all this. So I'm very happy to live in this time. I feel very, how should I say, grateful for the older generations that have made possible for me to live this time.
And you're 27 now.
Yeah.
You're the danger age.
Am I?
This is the age where all the rock stars died.
Ah, true. So I need to
Janis stay. Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix.
Amy Winehouse.
But then there's one exception, Avicii, 28.
Ah.
So He lived
he
a little
close.
Healthier life.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is crazy. So I need to stay alive at least half a year more.
Yes. Just to show that the statistics are wrong. No. Okay. That's a very, very positive answer to that question. What really pisses you off? What really makes you angry?
When people say something and they don't act with that, like lying.
Yeah.
That
okay.
pisses me off.
Dishonesty. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I have one story. I'm quite calm and this person, I don't really get angry, but we were going on Houston to perform at the dance festival, and then I was watching a movie because the flights are long, and then I slept.
Yeah.
I was sleeping and the movie was going on. And my colleague came and he put the voice like full on. And then I woke up with this horrible noise because, with those headphones, the sound
bad
is awful.
Sound. Yeah.
And when it's full, it hurts your ears.
Yeah.
So I woke up and then I took the headphones off and I was just watching him. And I throw, it wasn't my headphones, it was the airline headphones. Yeah. I throw it on the floor and started to scream like crazy. And I wasn't controlling myself.
But was this like a trick?
I think so. He made a funny trick, but it triggered me like full time. So I think pain is the second thing. If I feel pain, like that somebody is doing pain for me, then I trigger.
Okay. Wow. Well, good to know.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
The demon came inside.
Yeah.
This small, cute, blonde boy suddenly went crazy.
The last question you probably haven't thought so much since you are 27, but what do you think happens after you die to you?
I hope there is some afterlife. Like I could fly on Earth or somewhere on this, on the clouds or something like this.
Yeah. This is why I ask this question, because I want to hear the most positive and the most lovely, you know, answer. And then I kind of
I wish to be an angel, and then I can go and turn into bird and go to someone's window. You know, this
like, yeah, afterlife in a different form.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So a little bit Hinduism there. And,
yes.
But
still like angel on the cloud, you know, doing this like in the paintings there are these cute angels. Something like that, I hope.
That would be very nice. Very nice indeed.
But I hope the reality won't be down there. But we will see.
In the place that you don't need sticks. Or a lighter, because there's the burning fire. all the time. So this year, people can see you mainly at the National Ballet doing Dracula and Stravinsky Double Bill.
Yes.
And that's it.
Swan Lake is coming season. And then this music hall, Scenes from the Red Guard.
That's right.
Will happen, and it will be nice because it will be streamed live to TV. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward.
And do you have any summer festival gigs, dancing on the streets or something like that?
This summer, well, the thing is, I've been working for the past 5 years without holidays. So always when it's a holiday, I thought this is a great thing to do something. So I have always went somewhere to perform and doing this and that.
Yeah.
And this summer I thought, okay, I will do less work. Yeah. But it's already starting to fill the calendar, which is fine, you know.
Yeah.
It comes, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But for now, what is planned is I will go to Kuopio Dance Festival.
Of course.
So Jorma used to be the director, but now it's been Riku Lehtopolku for the past, is it already 4 years maybe?
Yeah.
So this will be his last season.
Yeah.
So I will go there to perform. So it will be nice to go back there, because last time I was there when it was Jorma's last season. So now I go with Riku's last season.
You
so
end up having nice. Like a one free weekend.
Probably.
Probably, yeah. But that's how
I like it, so.
That's how we roll, because
we rest then in afterlife.
That's right. In the clouds, as an angel. Thank you. Thank you for visiting me and just all the best with all your work.
Thank you so much. Yeah.